The rise of the man of lawlessness. The rise of the man of lawlessness. Now, when I use this phrase, many of you as believers, immediately I'm sure in your heads of the Antichrist. In this sense, I'm not speaking specifically of that individual. In this sense, amen, the rise of the man of lawlessness, I'm talking about the general act in society, the general rise of unlawful behavior amongst men, and I use in the biblical sense men and women, hallelujah, in our society today. So when I say the rise of the man of lawlessness, I'm talking about the individual, how lawlessness, ungodliness is rising up in them, and we're seeing the effects in our community. Amen. So let's get started right here. I'm not going to be with you for long, but I do want to hit on this because if anybody has turned on the television or listened to the news, amen, podcast, whatever it may be, hallelujah, you see lawlessness all across the land. And it's really amazing to me in some of these instances how we see this, and that it seems that our officials, amen, be it from the church or in society, that is our elected leaders, it doesn't seem to be anybody that's standing up for the rule of law. But I'm going to get into that. I'm going to explain why that is so. So as we get started, again, I am your host, Bishop C.S. Miller. And this is Elisha Ministries, Voice of Elisha, live stream. Amen. The rise of the man of lawlessness. Okay? The rise of lawlessness can be characterized, it can be observed, amen, by increased crime, amen, social decay, disregard for established authority or divine law. Amen. We're going to get into that really deep. It is seen as a time, amen, where as we live today, there is a coldness. There's a coldness in human love and morality. And we see it, amen, with the rampant street violence, theft, and a breakdown overall in societal order. Now, in a lot of ways, history is repeating itself. Remember the so-called Summer of Love? Amen. I believe it's 2020. I know I did, and many of you probably did. I watched in horror. I was like, oh my goodness. I could not believe what I was watching on the screen, what I was seeing in the news. And what were we seeing? Amen. We were seeing rioting and looting like it was a game, take place in cities all across America. California, Washington State, Seattle, L.A., Portland, New York, and don't get me wrong. I know we have had violence in the streets before, riots in the street before, and primarily when we think of that outside of what I'm speaking of today, we think of the 1960s and the early 70s. What was the 1960s? Obviously, the Civil Rights Movement. In the 70s, it was the Vietnam War, protest for and against. Those had direct circumstances, those had direct social issues that were pushing them. Today, that's not really the case. It's so much different than what it was. And then we didn't see riots all over the country. We didn't see looting behind this all over the country. I'm not saying it never happened, but what I'm saying is that what happened then is so much more different than now, okay? And so as I was beginning to say, in a lot of ways, we see history repeating itself back to 2020, amen? We saw police stations in Seattle, Washington had to get abandoned because they got burned, amen? They were attacked consistently night after night after night. And the question was, when I saw these things, why aren't the police stopping this? Why aren't they arresting people? Or as they used to say when I was younger, he said, pulling the paddy wagon up there, so handcuffing people and locking them up. Now, we know the answer to that. When the governor The sitting officials, the city officials, the mayors, amen, the city councils, when they're not doing anything, what does that tell us? They are in support of it. It's just that simple. They are in support of it. And sadly to say, politically, almost 99.9% of the time, if not 100% of the time, the only places you saw this stuff happening was in areas that were supposedly, amen, politically speaking, amen, controlled by the Democratic Party. Now, I'll tell you, I will be one of the first ones to tell you that the Democratic Party, as far as I'm concerned, amen, is no longer a Democratic Party. They are a Communist Party. Amen. They are a Marxist party. They are a fascist party. They are anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-America. And anyone that wants to debate me on that, all you have to do, don't take my word, take their policies. Their policies are not in support of the things of God. Their policies are not in support of the Constitution. The last president that we just had broke the Constitution so many times, you know. And basically, I'm just going to speak of the one thing that is allowing, facilitating, assisting millions of illegals coming into the country. Now, I'm not going to dwell on that, but that's a sign of lawlessness. And I have a question, and maybe somebody can answer this for me. Doesn't the presidents, when they get sworn in, they swear to do what? To uphold the Constitution. Their primary job, you hear it all the time. Their primary job of many is what? To keep the safety of the American people, the borders of this country, safe and secure. This president outright just didn't do it, the last president. And I'm wondering, like I said, if someone can give me a constitutional answer to that, not opinion, because my opinion, and I'm going to close out on this, is that he should have been prosecuted and put in jail, because he deliberately, knowingly did it. Okay? But that is part of the rise of lawlessness in the land. That one aspect facilitated so much of what we see going on today. Amen? So as I say, when lawlessness begins to take over the land, we see looting, we see policemen being shot, amen. We see rioting, amen, all over the land. And so, again, how was this happening? Well, part of it was the permissiveness, amen, of lawlessness was allowed by the governing officials. Amen. But what is the biblical worldview on this? Because as it stands right now, amen, the nation, hallelujah, is being fractured. Scripture says, amen, that lawlessness would abound. It would abound in what we call the last days, that is the last days before Christ returns. And not that lawlessness was never before, but it says evil is going to increase. Amen. And when you turn away from the word of God, the things of God, society breaks down. And you would go to, and I encourage you to, go to our church Facebook page, a Vine Grove Church of God. Our last two Sunday studies, amen, were about how it is that we should raise our children and parents' responsibility in doing that. That was part one. And in part two, we talked about the children's responsibility to the parents. And that's right in line with what we see going on right now. Amen. And so, from a biblical perspective, from a biblical worldview, amen, we see, amen, that the Bible says in these days, these last days before the return of Christ, there would be a contempt for God's law. See, before we can get to any other law, man-made law, we have to deal with, first of all, the foundation of all law, and that is the Word of God. Amen? We need to understand that when we have turned away from the Word of God, as our nation has, hallelujah, that does not mean that there are not Christians and believers there. I'm a Christian and I'm a believer. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. But that does not mean society as a whole adheres to that, and we know that to be true. We know that to be true. Amen. We have taken prayer from school. Amen. We have taken Bible reading from school. Hallelujah. It's part of our regular curriculum in the classroom. That used to be a norm, but no more. That's just two aspects of it. We have approved murder of little children, i.e. abortion. It's not 99.999% of the time. It's not done because a woman that's pregnant has a life-threatening condition. No, it's done out of convenience. God does not like that. But let me give you some scripture. 1 John, amen, 3 and 4 says, everyone who makes a practice, amen, of sinning also practices what? Lawlessness. Amen. And sin, we know, according to the scripture, is lawlessness. Matthew 24 and 12 says it this way, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. The love of many will grow cold. We see that in our society today. People senselessly taking people's lives over some of the most ridiculous things. Hallelujah. We see parents abusing their children. We see children abusing their parents. We see, amen, the lack of respect of morality and authority in and outside the home. We need to understand that lawlessness is going to abound. We know it's going to get worse. My thought tonight isn't how do we stop it. My thought is to recognize for what it is. This is a spiritual battle. And that number two, we cannot defeat spiritual things, amen, with carnal things. And the way we win spiritually is to get ourselves lined up and is submit to Jesus Christ, submit to the word of God. Hallelujah. And so we see this breakdown, amen, in society. Hallelujah. Black Lives Matter, amen. They've cleaned it up now, but when they first came out and I had first heard of them, obviously we looked them up and there's two, there, at the time, there was listed two Black Lives Matter. One was an organization that was really set on helping the local community, the Black community, achieve some positive things. But then the other one, the one that became more prominent, they took theirs down, amen, or they changed it, I should say that. But now we know the truth. They're Marxists, anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-America, anti-Constitution, amen. And they admitted that on their page. They said that. Their intent was to break down and destroy this nation, which they're still working at doing, okay? But why are these things, why aren't these things being combated the way they need to be combated? Well, first of all, because when you have lawlessness, amen, immediately what is that? That's a rejection of moral standards. Hallelujah. That is a self-inflicted, selfish, arrogant, disobedient behavior. Amen. And from a biblical point of view, the breakdown is due because we have walked away from God. Hallelujah. When people say Black Lives Matter, amen, and someone would say All Lives Matter, which is what I said, you know, they say, people got all hooked up. But don't all lives matter? Not for the ungodly. Only my life matters. When it comes to the ungodly, only my life and what I stand for matter. If you don't stand with me on that, then you don't matter. Hallelujah. It's hard for people to want to conceive that conceive the truth of what is happening around us. Amen. Because of our rejection of God, amen, all of our former standards are being destroyed. Just look at it. Let's talk about the moral standards. Amen. Hallelujah. In Romans 1, 21 through 32, and I'm not going to read that entire text, amen, but you can go to it, Romans 1, 21st verse through the 32nd verse, amen. Paul addresses the consequences of rejecting God's truth. Now, and see, that's what we're living in, this chaos, this lawlessness that we see, amen. That's what Paul's talking about. He addresses the consequences, amen, of rejecting God's truth. And what, when you let go of something, you grab hold of something else. And what have we grabbed hold of in this world, in this country? Amen. Unrighteousness, as Paul describes. Amen. He describes how humanity, how we as a people, man, though we know God, we know who God is, we know what the Word of God says. We have churches all over this nation. We used to say, amen, there's a church just about on every corner. I remember growing up right down the street from us, not more than 50 yards on the corner was a church. You walk up, you make the left turn and walk down about another 100 yards. Mm-hmm. I say 200 yards. Mm-hmm. Galilee Baptist Church, where I went, you know. If you turn the other way, instead of turning left and turn right from my street, you went down so far, there was another church on the corner right there. And so it was like every three or four blocks, every time, there was a church. Hallelujah. But not so today. And so Paul says, amen, even though humanity know God, we also have chosen to turn away from him. And what has happened? It's resulting in all the lawlessness, the sinful behavior that we see, all the ungodly actions that we see. And so in that passage in Romans 1, 21 through 32, amen, it talks about, amen, how men will become futile in their thinking and are given over to their sinful lust. Amen. And this rejection of moral standards leads to every form of wickedness, including the traits such as arrogance, selfishness, and disobedience. Amen. Since when has society says, amen, it's okay to have drag queens in our schools, in our library, talking to our kindergarten kids, and so on and so forth, modeling that sinfulness, that ungodliness before them? Since when has it become okay, amen, that we tell our children that you're not a boy, you're a girl, you're not a girl, you're a boy? That's right, that's part of this lawlessness. That's part of that decay that Paul talks about in Romans 21 through 32, amen. He says the rejection of moral standards leads to every form of wickedness. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says it like this. It says, don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. We're in those difficult times and more to even come. It says, as the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money hungry, self-promoting, stuck up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog mentality, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, come on now, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags. This is coming from the message. It's not, I wanted to use this description. Addicted to lust and allergic to God. Do we not live in a lawless society that describes, that fits that description right there? They make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Stay clear of these people. Talk about lawlessness in the land. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Romans 28 through 31, let me just read it for you. Furthermore, just as they did not think it to be worthwhile. Mm-hmm. Did not think for it to be worthwhile. Amen. To do what? To retain the knowledge of God. To retain the standards that the Lord God himself had put out. And so what happened? It says that God gave them over to a deprived mind. Don't you, wouldn't you call it deprived? Some of the things that we see going on in our society, some of the things we're pushing on children, mm-hmm, and telling them that it's okay, that they should do these things. I go on and finish this, so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. So when those things happen, when this lawlessness begins to happen, hallelujah, and when it begins to formulate in your spirit and in your life and in society, what happens? We see a breakdown of character. The further we, as a society, we move away from the moral compass of God's word, the individual and collectively our society, begins to deteriorate. Isn't that what we're seeing? Paul says that the lawlessness that he talks about in 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, he outlines how people will become lovers of themselves. Talks about how they're going to be boastful, proud, and disobedient to parents. Are we not seeing those things today? This is the spirit of lawlessness that is in the land, that is in the country, that is in the world today. Hallelujah. And so when we see these things, and we see the breakdown of society, the disunity of society, we see all the corruption in every level, and even in the church. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, that is, go get a job, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has a need. When we see all the looting and everything, a lot of times, the majority of the time, those people are looting, not necessarily because they need that stuff, but because of the spirit in their hearts and their mind. They just want it. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. My Lord. So, what are the consequences of disobeying the word of God? What are the consequences of rejecting the word of God in our society and our family? Well, first of all, we see the breakdown of family. We see fatherless homes in the millions. That means that the children don't have the influence of their fathers. We see all this single parenthood, with no husband, sometimes no wife, it's just the husband, or not necessarily, they're not getting married, but you have a mother that has no, the father of the child is not there, or we have the father and the mother of the child is not there. Breakdown of society. How did it happen? Because we walked away from the moral value. Sex in marriage, not sex before marriage. The Bible speaks about, the ultimate consequences, hallelujah, of lawlessness and the moral decay of a people. In Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 7 through 8, Paul reminds us that our actions have consequences, either to sow to the flesh and reap corruption, which is what we're seeing, or to sow to the spirit and reap eternal life. And that is acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Because when lawlessness, when it's unchecked, when it's not, heeded, hallelujah, if it's not halted, hallelujah, I'm telling you, it's going to lead, and it is leading to destruction. Galatians 6, 7, and 8, I'll read it. Says, do not be deceived. God cannot, will not be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Hallelujah. But whoever sows to the Spirit, my Lord, will receive, from the Spirit. Lawlessness brings a contempt for law and order, for the law itself, for the authorities, We have judges, people, officials, in the judicial system, in our mayor offices and state offices and so on and so forth. They have an unwillingness, to hold people accountable. When you don't discipline a child, when you don't put a halt to negative, bad behavior, what happens? They continue to do it. And the older they get, they'll continue to do more and more and increase, hallelujah, the level of their disobedience, the disrespect of the law. A lot of times the causes of these things, amen, you know, so many times, hallelujah. Now some of it, amen, can be, you know, so well, there's economic reasons people do the things they do. That's all true. That's all true. But ultimately, the foundation, the root of the lawlessness in the land isn't a lack of economic opportunity. It's a lack of morals. It's a lack of a godly influence. It's the lack of having Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. Someone will put it on education. I'm big on the education thing. Because we see in our schools, because, amen, the spirit of lawlessness, the disobedience to the word and will of God. We see in our schools, they're teaching everything, but how teach the kids how to read and write. Teach them how to be protesters. Saw some videos on that. And then, at least the two videos that I watch, amen, they brought these kids, talking about seventh graders now, brought these kids out to school to go protest, quote unquote, ICE, immigration authorities, amen, and the parents didn't know nothing about it. And a couple of parents found out and went and got their kids and disenrolled them from that school, put them in another school. And the point, one of the things, I don't know if you caught what I said, they didn't inform the parents. They didn't let them know they were going to do this. They didn't send an email. They didn't have a parent-teacher conference. Nothing. They just did it. And that's another thing. It used to be when I was a child and when my kids were in school that if there was going to be something happening with the kids, they had to inform the parents, let the parents know. And then the parents had the right to not have their kids participate. Now the schools just do what they want to do. And, you know, the school is trying to become the parent. And that's part of this lawlessness. And that's part of how society as a whole, if you look at it from a political perspective, that is the communist system, hallelujah. What they want to do is indoctrinate the kids, which is what they're doing. They're indoctrinating the kids. And when they do that, they are shifting the child's view of authority from the parent to them, the government, the school. I'm going on, but I don't want to sit there. But the lack of education has a place for it too. Kids, if you don't know how to read and write, it's going to be very difficult in this world to get a job. Hallelujah. At the same time, because there is no respect for authority, no respect for the police officials, amen, we see rioting all over the place. We see folks that are supposed to be quote-unquote protesting, but they're attacking law enforcement. They throwing rocks and bricks and trash cans and everything at law enforcement. And I don't understand why those folks aren't being picked up. I don't understand. Well, let me take that back. I do understand. Understanding from a biblical point of view, amen. Understanding from a political point of view, again, when you see these things happening, they're not happening in areas that are typically controlled by Republicans, per se. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not stuck on Republican, Democrat. As far as that's concerned, I'm an independent. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And that it is what it is. But it also is what it is that we see these things happening, but we see them primarily, not only, but primarily in areas under governmental systems, democratic, quote unquote, leadership that allow it to happen. When we see this lawlessness in the land, it's not just that. It also deals with, amen, substance abuse. Hallelujah. Lawlessness, amen, also influences what happens when it comes to the homeless. Hallelujah. Amen. Substance abuse, drug and alcohol use are often associated with criminal behavior. Leading what? To increase aggression and impaired judgment. Come on now, these are things that we know. But when there's lawlessness in the land, these things are not only happening, but in many areas, as I've been saying, it is permitted. And in some cases, we're going to say encouraged. We see the erosion of values. Amen. moral decay, and an increase in disregard for what we call traditional values and authority contribute to lawlessness. Let me give you a very simple, and this is not a law, but this deals with the moral side. When I was a young man, in Indianapolis, getting on public transportation system, the bus, get on the bus, and buses getting crowded, so on and so forth. Amen. A woman got on that bus. It was normal, hallelujah, for a man, a male, amen, to get up and give his seat up to that woman, especially if they were carrying groceries or something, or they had a child. It wasn't even a thought. You got up and done that. Now, these young folks and older folks, they just sit there and, oh, well, that's wrong. Where's your morality at? It doesn't help that on the news, either they present, they soften and water it down and don't show you what really is, or they show you the clips from it, but they edit the clips in such a way to push a particular narrative. But we see the erosion of values. Amen. We see them trying to put men in women's sports, boys in girls' sports. And then they try to change the language, amen, and call them a different version. They say, well, this person is transgender. Okay, you can call yourself whatever you want. Are you male or female? What chromosomes you got? Well, I identify, and that's what you can identify yourself as something dummy. That's not what the question is. The question is, are you a male or a female? People they get upset and they want to call you names and do all kinds of things because you won't go along with the preferred dogma, the preferred, amen, language. Then the other thing is with lawlessness in our country, amen. Hallelujah. Not just how the media portrays it, amen. But we also got to look at, especially for young people, that peer pressure. Amen. Peer pressure, we know as kids, amen, peer pressure is strong. You know? You notice how it's not very high in the overall numbers, but you notice how all of a sudden there seem to be all kind of young, I mean, kids sometimes young as 6 years old identifying as. Increasing lesbians, homosexuality in our kids and everything, as if, you know, that's a normal thing. How does that happen? Because, first of all, parents, I encourage you to go to your schools, go to that library, go to those classrooms, amen, unannounced, and go through and see what kind of books they're on display that they're pushing in front of your kids. That's part of it. And then as soon as you get one child that gives a positive response, or they can influence a child to give a positive take on it, then that child starts talking to another kid, and then, you know, it just go on and on and on. But what we want to do, the way that we overcome these things, hallelujah, all this stuff I'm talking about, all this lawlessness, everything from stealing, killing, raping, and all that stuff, rioting, looting, all those things, to the things that happen in the homes, amen, to the abuse in the homes, not just sexual abuse, amen, but physically being harmed, hurt, and beat, male, female, children, all those things. How do we deal with that? Well, I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer. He is the way of salvation. He is the way of deliverance. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way we need to go. Why? Because he's going to lead us in truth. He's going to teach us in truth. Amen. Jesus is the way. And when we follow his way, we won't have, amen, lawlessness. We'll have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. And understand that the foundation of all of this that I'm talking about is the erosion of values, amen, is simply what? The rejection of God's authority. Amen. The rejection of Scripture. Hallelujah. The rejection, amen, of the truth according to the Word of God. My Lord. We look in the book of Judges, specifically chapter 21, verse 25, says this, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. Now, New King James says like this, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. I'm going to do me, you do you. That's how we hear that today. The law says this, but I'm going to do it this way, and you can do whatever you want, but this is what I'm doing. What that verse really points to in society as a whole, amen, it reflects the moral and sectorial, amen, chaos that results from Israel's rejection of God's authority. Without godly leadership now, individuals and communities, amen, were left to their own devices, leading to the breakdown of values. That's what's happening in America today. When our leaders do not set godly examples, when our leaders do not enforce the laws on the books, they're there for a reason. They're not suggestions. Hallelujah. But when we don't do those things, what people begin to do is what they want to do. In the Satanic Bible, it says this, do what thou wilt. What does that mean? Do what you want to do. Don't worry about it. Do what you want to do. What makes you feel good? What makes you comfortable? But we see in this lawlessness, and I'm getting ready to close. We see in this lawlessness, amen, the consequences of rejecting God's word. We see in this lawlessness, amen, that there is a rejection of the rule of law. Hallelujah. This image that you see right now, I'm going to say this. I'm starting to see this more and more. Talking about America on stolen land. We can get into the history of that, but I'll say it like this. There's no country on the face of this earth that the occupants of that land, the occupants of that country today, were the original occupants of that land 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 500 years ago. No, it changes over time. It changes over time. And the weaker group loses to the stronger group. That's every country in the world. So you can't say land is stolen. Now, we know that there are certain situations where after a country is established, there's other things that may not happen. I'm not getting into all that. I'm just dealing with a straightforward point that they're making here that America is on stolen land. And the only reason I have this particular image is not to make that in and of itself an issue, but you're starting to see that stolen land more and more and more. Once again, the reason I bring this up is that it all points toward lawlessness, amen, the one world system where there are no borders, there are no nation states, to use a term, amen, and all the lands belong to the world perspective. Lawlessness, we have to see what this is. And so the consequences. Proverbs emphasizes over and over again, amen, the importance of God's wisdom, amen, and guiding us as individuals and as a nation. And when his wisdom is forsaken, what do we see? We see what we have right now. Chaos and lawlessness abounds. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. Let me say that again. Righteousness extols a nation, but sin condemns any people. Because of the erosion of values, amen, we can see, amen, that sin is overtaking our society, leading to moral decay, and sadly to say, eventual destruction. But I'm not going to leave you on that sad note. I'm going to leave you on the good news. For this cause, amen. For this cause, amen, Jesus Christ came into the world. For this cause, amen, to save a nation by saving this people one by one. For this cause, amen, if we as a people would receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen. And allow the Word of God to give us the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding to guide our individual lives, our families. Amen. Ultimately, our nation, our communities. Hallelujah. Things will be so much better. So I close with this. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. With all the chaos around us, amen, we can still stand. I'm reminded of Psalms 91. It says, amen, 1,000 at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. All the destruction that's happening in society. If we stand on and with the Word of God, allow the Holy Spirit, amen, to cover us, allow the blood of Christ, amen, to cleanse us of our sins, and commit to Him no matter what. As I told the doctor when I had cancer, amen, we win. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for the video. Please, hallelujah, it's going to be posted on our Facebook page, also, amen, on my YouTube page, hallelujah, some other sites. But if you go to it on YouTube, amen, hit a like and subscribe, and at the same time, amen, leave a comment. Let us know what you think and any questions that you may have. Again, this is Elisha Ministries, Voice of Elisha live stream. I'm your host, Bishop C.S. Miller. We love you. We thank you for your time. Have a blessed evening. Amen.